upon life's boundless oceans where mighty billows roll. I rest my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me, storms are gathering whole, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I anchor in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, fear no wind or wave. I've anchored, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed grace. My pilot and deliverer. Oh, yes, for always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll bring. I've anchored in Jesus, hear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock. Amen. Sing that second verse again. And He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has filled the waters, bid their troubles cease. My pilot and deliverer. Oh, for always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, fear no wind or wave. I've anchored, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock, oh, He is my friend and Savior. Oh, He is my friend and Savior, Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrow, shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward, beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared. Oh, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored, for hear the wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock. Oh, yes, see that last verse again. And He is my friend and Savior, and Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrow. Oh, by faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I'm anchored. Oh, yes, I'm anchored in Jesus. Hear no wind or wave. I've anchored. He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. And there is power, power, wonder-working power. Yes, in the blood of the Lamb there is power, power. In the precious, amen, let's stand and sing it. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power. In the precious. Oh, would you be free? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood, and would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power. Oh, yes, there is power, power. Oh, in the blood, in the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power. In the precious land.
wiser than snow. There's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood, and sin stains along in its life. Oh, there's wonderful power.
Body. Also, My son William has been running a high fever throughout the night, last night, and all day today. Just want to remember him in prayer. Also, Sister Beth Adams, Sister Marie Middleton's mother, has just passed away. I want to remember the family in prayer as they grieve over their loved one. Amen. Would you just say, like Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer. If you have a need, just take it before the Lord. Amen. Just remember these that are grieving. Remember these that are hurting in body. Amen. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come to you this evening, Lord. Lord, and we think of these that are, Lord, having this hurt and, Lord, the pain that they're feeling in their body, Father. Lord, those that are hurting physically, those that are hurting emotionally, or Lord, even those that may be here hurting spiritually, Father. Lord, we think of each need, Father. Some we feel are great, some we feel might be just small. But Lord, we know in your eyes, Father, that you're the God that healeth all our diseases. Lord, we know that your word said, Lord, that you would come and you would be a counselor. We pray that you'll bring that counsel to the families, Father. Lord, we know that you'll be a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. And Lord, we pray that that peace will rain down upon them this evening, Father. Lord, we sing the songs of worship. We sing the songs of joy and rejoicing. Lord, and we think of how great you are, Father. Lord, and we know that sometimes nothing can hurt. Lord, nothing can heal a soul like your presence, Father. Nothing can touch a body like you can, Lord. And we just pray, Father, Lord, that it, Father, tonight it would be you that would come down and touch each need, Father. Lord, that you'd make yourself real to each one, Lord. Each one here that lifted their hand to you. Father, each need that's upon each heart. God, you know the end from the beginning. And all we can do is we can say, our life is in your hands, God. Do with us as you will, Father, no matter what comes our way, no matter what may happen, Father, we can say with assurance that we know that our Redeemer lives and that he's alive. And we give you the honor and the praise and the glory tonight, Father. We thank you for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've placed inside of us. Lord, for the spirit that you've given us, and while so many are groping in darkness, that you've given us eyes to see, Father. Lord, we can look on the sickness, we can look on the sadness, but we look to you, Father. And where you are, there is liberty, and there is joy, and there is peace. And we come to you with that in mind and that expectation, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, that you would do a mighty work, Father. We pray that you'll be with the tithes and the offering. Each one here that has a part, Father, whether it's in the pew, whether it's in the back, whether it's on the platform, every person here, may we just be locked into that channel that we're here to worship you and hear from you, God. We give ourselves to you. Use us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that. I know my Redeemer lives. Why don't you turn around and shake one another's hand, greet each other to the house of the Lord. Give somebody a smile. Amen. The brothers can take up the offering. Amen. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Oh, let all creation, yes, testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. I know he lives. Sing it again.
Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And let all creation, oh, let this light within me cry. I know my Redeemer. He's here tonight, and he runs to the weary, the worn, oh yes, and the same gentle hand that holds me when I'm broken, that conquered death to bring me victory.
Song, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. We can say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. thank Him for all He's done. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, we can say it as well with my soul.
Don't comprehend all that I have been through, and I don't pretend to have answers for you. Yet through it all I can say, my God is faithful. Sometimes my nights seem like they'll never end, like a tide from an ocean that never comes in. Yet I know the morning will come, and what has been lost shall be won. My faith seemed to wane. when I cried my last tear and fell crushed by the pain. In a sweet, tender way, He's been there. He is so faithful. When my friends have gone on and I'm still left with grief, when I'm weak and I'm shaking like an insecure leaf, He gives me strength to move on, the courage and faith to be strong.
I still believe
in a God who restores.
Song. Amen. Because it always gave her faith. It is good to bind together with people that are hurting. Amen. Say, I still believe with you. It's greater than I understand. Amen. And there's nothing like the presence. Nothing like the presence.
Presence. Yeah.
Amen. Is that why you came tonight? To enter into the presence of the Lord? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Father, once again, giving ourselves to you, Lord, to be used of you, O Father God. Master, have your way tonight, Lord. We have need of many things in our lives, Lord, healing in our body. Lord, things that we battle day by day, O God. Lord, we're battled, but not forsaken. Lord, we may sometimes fall down, but we get right back up, Lord, because we're looking at a promise, Father. Lord, our eyes are upon you, O God. Father God, we ask, Lord, tonight that you would, Lord, just be the comforter to the family, Lord, that lost their mother. God, just surround them tonight, we pray with you. Let the presence of God be felt, Lord, in the room, Lord, where they may be gathered. And Lord Jesus, just to give them that peace that passes all understanding, to know you have it all in control. God, we still believe in a God who's faithful. We still believe in a God who heals. We still believe in a God who saves. 10,000 can die tomorrow, but we still believe in a God who heals. Oh, Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity we have in this day, Lord, to serve a God like you. We commit this service in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Malachi 3. Amen. Malachi 3 and also Hebrews 6. Malachi 3 and verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Also, Hebrews 6 and verse 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." You can be seated. Like to speak to you again on position in the promise. Position in the promise. We read here about two, the scripture says, two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. He cannot change. He can't be moved. It has to stay the same forever. God cannot change his word. Amen. Two immutable things. First, his word said he would do it. Second, he swore an oath on it that he would bring it to pass. So there's two things that cannot be changed. One, he said he would do it. Second, he swore an oath saying that he would bring it to pass. What type of people then should we be? Why should we be tossed about and run about and taken, looking at the things of the world and the Christianity and swayed this way and that way? You know, we want to be the old-fashioned type that takes God at His word and calls those things which were not as though that they are. Why can we do that? If God says so, that settles it. Because what He says, He cannot lie and He cannot change His mind. And so if Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, it took some 4,000 years for it to actually happen. But when God spoke it back there, every word of God is steadfast. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. It cannot fail. Amen. Time does not have anything. God's word does not depend on time. Time means nothing to God's word. If He says it, it's going to come to pass. When He said, let there be, many thousands of years ago, it could have been a million years. It could have been 2 million years. And that did not matter. What mattered was what He said came to pass. That's what makes Him God, because what He says always comes to pass, and what He says always is, and He never can change His mind about it. And so if He cannot change His mind about it, it cannot fail. And when God slayed the Son before the foundation of the world, He was just as much slain then as it was 4,000 years later on the day at Calvary. It was a finished product when God said it. Amen. And remember, when the Lamb was slain, your salvation was also included in that. Hallelujah. In the sacrifice, because the Bible said your name was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. And if He put your name in that book, He cannot take your name out of that book. Hallelujah. If you was there before the foundation of the world, and you were in His mind before the world was ever framed, was ever formed, then if you was there, you will always be there. Because if He thought about you one way, He cannot change His mind about you. Sin doesn't matter. Iniquity doesn't matter. None of that matters. This world doesn't matter. The chaos of this world does not matter. The mind frame of this world does not matter. If God thinks of you one way, you will be exactly what He thought you would be from the very beginning. And so we see, then what are we going to do about it? What is it? It is God showing mercy. I'm so thankful for His mercy today. It is God that called you. It is God that chooses you in Christ before the foundation of the world. I didn't choose this. He chose this. Jesus said, you never chose me, but I chose you. What a consolation that could give us tonight. When we can place ourselves there in that scripture and have faith to believe that He was speaking to me when He said that. I did not choose Him. None of us ever was looking for God. It was always God looking for us. Amen. We was in the world. We was born in this world, shaped in iniquity, and come in this world speaking lies, and had sin nature, and our heart was towards sin, our life was towards sin, and from a very little child we told lies and spoke things that wasn't true and said things and done things that wasn't right. Our lives was headed to hell. But there was a word that was spoke about us. And that word came and called us out by name and turned us away from the path that we was heading. Why? Because we was in His mind before the foundation of the world. Now, He didn't get here and say, oh my, I didn't know Timothy was going to be that bad. I didn't know Joe. I didn't know this one. I didn't know that one was going to be that bad. What am I going to do now? His word is already declared that you will be there on that day. And there is nothing that can make Him change His mind about you. Hallelujah. The Satan went before God to talk about Job and to try to change God's mind. He could not change God's mind about Job. It ought to take the scare out of us when we recognize who we are. So I wonder if I could just keep holding on, I'll make it. Oh, bless God, if I could just keep holding on. It's not whether you hold on or not. It's not whether I hold on or not. It's whether He held on or not. It's what He's done, not what I've done. It's what He did. As the scripture said here in Malachi, I am the Lord and I change not. We rest tonight in an unchanging God. It would be it would not be a restful thing to know that one day God thinks one thing about you and the next day He's changed His mind. One day you're a son, the next day you're going to hell. No, that ain't God. That's Satan trying to tell you that. But we're positioned in a promise. And we have confidence in a God who cannot and will not change His mind about us. The second part of the scripture is someone, speaks of someone who draws benefit from this attribute of God. It speaks of the sons of Jacob who has drawn a benefit from a God who changes not. Because if God would change His mind, Jacob would have been wiped off the face of the earth. Look at all the times that they tested God and do wrong and then repent and come back to God and do wrong and repent and come back to God. It was living in a time before the Holy Ghost had come. And here they were. They'd go one way and they'd go down and they would go down and go repent and God would raise them back up again. And He would restore them back to their position again. And He would put them back in their land again. And here they would go back into sin and serve other gods. And another army would come through and take them out and take them to foreign lands. And they would repent. And God would bring them back again. And He said, if I wasn't this kind of God, you would be consumed. So He says here, there's this attribute of God that the sons of Jacob are drawing benefits from. And thirdly in the scripture is the benefit that they draw. They are not consumed. It's the immutability of God. I am God, I change not. Now, our world that we live in is always changing. Landscapes is always changing. There's places in just Shreveport that you can go that just a few years ago was a cow pasture. And there was baling hay there. Now there's this store and that store and all kinds of stores popping up. It's always changing. The world we live in, just a few years, we've come from horse and buggy to the astronaut age. In just a short time, no telephone. To one now that you can hold in your hand is more powerful than the one they put man on the moon with. This is the world we're living in. It's ever changing. The earth is always changing. Rivers that once flowed in a certain direction can change course over time and go around a certain place and make a bend. Or Brother Baker told me that one year or however many years ago in Tucson, there used to be a river that was above ground. And then there was a great earthquake and it made it go under the ground. Earth is changing. Our body is ever changing. You looked in the mirror today, you know it's been changing. It's a gradual change and we don't realize it until we look at a video of 20 years ago or a picture of 20 years ago. Think, oh Lord, what happened? Hey, just 2 years ago. Wow, I used to have some hair. Wow, that looks pretty good. Our body's changing. We start as a little bitty bumbling idiot, so to speak, and a baby. Blah, 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 blah. That's all we can say. And we come up into the times where we start saying, Dada and Mama. And we don't want to stay there. We keep going into the teenage years, them good old rebellious teenage years. And we get to 20-something and we're in the prime of our life. And we're doing great until about 38 years old. And we start getting ready to go downhill, turn 40. Then you get to 50 and you're 1 foot in the grave, 1 foot in the banana peel. Then you're 60 and there's no hope at all. Seventy is a lot better on the other side. No matter what age you are, it's a lot better on the other side. But our bodies, they go from this picture of health and these young guys here, you know, we had a few of them out there the other day throwing some hay with us and, you know, just been working out, strong muscles, bulging muscles. Some of them decided they need to reevaluate their workout program because they wasn't working no more. Amen. You know, we're a picture of health, and before you know it, if you turn to the sun, you got aches where you didn't realize there was even a muscle there. And you got pains and discomfort, and before you know it, you look at yourself and you're stooping over and you're kind of, you're going back down into the earth again. Our body is always changing. But God is always the same. He doesn't have wrinkles from old age. He's not stooped over and weary. His age hasn't paralyzed him. He sees time and ages past, but with him, it's always now. He remains everlasting the same. He is the great I am, the great unchangeable God. He has not changed in his attributes. Whatever his attributes were, they're the same today. As he was in the beginning, he is now and ever will be. Was he a powerful then? He's powerful now. Hallelujah. Was he almighty when he spoke the worlds into existence? Well, then he's almighty now. Was he omnipotent when he piled the mountains high with his hand? He scooped out the valleys. Was he? Then he's omnipotent now. Hallelujah. Yes, he was powerful then. Yes, he was omnipotent then. And his hand is not paralyzed now and is not withered with old age. He's still just as strong as he's ever been. He's been through thousands and thousands and thousands of battles down through humanity. You can read in the Bible, and he has not lost one ounce of power. He was he wise when he mapped out this world? Who could form a world like this as perfect as it is? If it was no doubt, maybe a few miles, I don't know, maybe 100 miles away from the sun, the temperature variance would be in the atmosphere or a few miles closer. In Louisiana, we don't want to be no closer to the sun. It's hot. He knew exactly where to place it. Was he wise? Then he's wise now. He's not less skillful. He don't have less knowledge. He's not battling with Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that. He don't have those problems. What he was, he always is. His eyes that sees all things has not dimmed and lost their sight. Hallelujah. If he saw a child, that one of his children back there that was in a fiery furnace, he sees a child now in the same conditions. If he saw one of his child that was going down to a lion's den, he sees the same today. His children walking down to the lions of Laodicea. Hallelujah. He hasn't lost his hearing ability. His ears still hear the cries and the sighs and the sobs and the groans of his people. He is unchanged in his wisdom. He knows as much now as ever. Neither more, neither less. Was he just and holy in the past? Then he's just and holy now. Amen. He is unchanged in his truth. What he has promised, he brings to pass. And he never forgets one of his promises. He's not saying, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about that. How many of us even today, man, I forgot. Shucks. Why am I always forgetting? Give me some pills for my memory. They ain't going to help. Well, you don't know about such urban, this and that. Who cares? Ain't none of them going to help. Going to get worse and worse, older and older. It's part of life. Well, let me play some brain games to make my brain work. It's not going to help. Sooner or later, we're going back down into the dust again. But what he said he would do, he will. And he's not looking at you with an excuse like, oh my, I forgot. I totally forgot that this was going to last to 2014. Wow, where was I at? Sorry, I didn't hear you. You know, after so many thousands of years of my ears have grown dim, I can't hardly hear you no more. No. He hears just as good as he always has heard. Amen. He varies not in his goodness and his generosity. His love remains the same. Oh, hallelujah. It is unmoved by our sins. When he first wrote that covenant, he knew the cost. He knew what he knew that he would have to die. He did not hesitate to sign that covenant and swear by himself. Why did he swear by himself? Because he could find nothing greater to swear by than himself. He loves as much now as he ever did. And he loves you just as much as he ever did. When the sun will cease to shine and the moon fades away, his love will go on and on throughout the eternities. Take any one of God's attributes, it's still the same today. I am the Lord and I change not. If he can't change, neither can his word. Because he and his word is the same. Amen. If his word don't stay the way that he said it, I want you to understand something. He don't change his word. Man changes his word. If his word don't stay the way that he said it, then it will lose its power in the person who changed it. Because his word is still powerful. Brother Branham says it here in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, as I've already said, this book, the book of Revelation, is the consummation of the scriptures. It is even placed exactly right in the canon of the scriptures at the end. Now you know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears it is blessed. It is a revelation of God that will give you the authority over the devil. Listen to this. And you can see why they who would add or take away from it would be cursed. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect word of God and overcome the enemy? Hallelujah. Amen. So what do you say? You know, I've always looked at that scripture and kind of glanced over it, I guess, so to speak, because, you know, it says he that adds or takes away, their names will be removed. You know, the scripture. You know, it'll be a curse unto them. Well, I thought, yeah, surely God had cursed them. You know, what a curse. Their names are removed. Say they've lost their salvation. They've lost eternal life. It's done. But here's what really happens. This is the curse. That if it would be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect word of God and overcome the enemy? When men change the word of God, they lose their power over the enemy. This is the curse. Because this is what eventually takes them all the way down to hell, is because they've lost their power over the enemy by changing or adding to the scripture. If you add or take away from the word, then the word loses its power in you. It don't lose its power. It loses its power in you. Amen. You then can have no more power over the enemy. Thereby you are cursed. What did he use the word? What did he use to defeat Satan on the mountain? His word. Satan tried to change it. Jesus wouldn't go to the changed word because he knew in that word that was changed there wasn't no power there. But he would bring him back to it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He took him right back to the scriptures. Amen. Not to his thinking, not to what he thought, but what was written of him. Amen. He did not accept. Well, he was doing exactly opposite of what Eve did. Eve, she accepted a changed word. The strength of the word loses its power to hold you when you change it. Oh, yeah. Our church don't really believe that it's wrong for women to cut their hair. What do? Cut their hair. The word lost its power over them because a man changed the word. But I see that it hasn't lost its power over you sisters here tonight. Because you have not listened to a man who's changed the word. You see all the ones that's walking away. What are they doing? They're changing the word. Well, they just don't really mean that to be so anymore. That's old archaic stuff. And it's way for somewhere else and another day and another time. This is 2014, for goodness sake. God does not change. It does not matter what the date is or what the time is or what the situation is. God is always the same. Listen here, Matthew 15 and verse 1, he says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Oh. They've turned the commandment of God into a tradition. He said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." By changing what God said. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Amen. This is exactly what's happened down through the ages and denominations. Men begin to teach the doctrines, the changing the doctrines for the commandments of men. Men begin to inject their own interpretation into the scriptures, and they begin to change one word here and this over there. God don't mean this no more, and this has changed here. He's not what he used to be. You know, he don't believe. God is always the same. 2014 does not change anything. Hollywood doesn't change anything. But they take the commandments, the teaching of the Bible, and they begin to explain it all away. And therefore you make the commandments of God without any effect. You take the word of God and explain it all away with some sort of creed or man's idea. Then you cry, "Where is the God of the Bible? If God be God, where are the miracles? Why is it not there?" Because they have changed the word of God. You've explained them away. You took it all away from the people when you tell them the days of miracles is past. That's changing the word. When you tell them there's no such a thing as the Holy Ghost, that's changing the word. When you tell them that there's no such a thing as divine healing, that's changing the word. Amen. There's no such a thing as a visit of angels. That's changing the word. There's such a thing as miracles. That's changing the word. When you do that, you explain all the supernatural away from the Bible, and you take God right out of the church when you do it. He says here, it says, they watch it clearly and straightly. He said, when Jesus was born, people got so in a ritual on the word and so making commandments of God of none effect, they took to the tradition of man the same thing they've done today. They don't take the word of God. The word of God teaches divine healing. The word of God teaches the supernatural. The word of God gives a promise to a people that will believe. But today the scholars will explain it all away. But don't let them take it away. God made the promise. Just come out and face the facts. He says you haven't got enough faith to believe it. That's all. But God made the promise. God said so. Bible say people say today like they did then. They say, "Oh, the Bible says so and so." It's for another, but the Bible is another time. But he said there's no but to it. Jesus said it, he would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says it, and that settles it. If there ain't no ifs, ands, or nothing else in the way of it, if Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, God's Word eternal. Some of them say, oh, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but the Holy Ghost, I don't believe they had to receive it today like they did then. They take the commandments of God and make them a none effect to the people, teaching traditions of the church, creeds, and denominations, and making it a tradition. We shouldn't do it. We've got to stick with God's Word. If God's Word true, then let everything else be a lie. Amen. Let's stay with the Word. Amen. You know, I didn't read nowhere where Brother Branham was saying, let's stay with William Branham. People want to say, well, you're just a man follower. This man never pointed anybody to himself. I'm not following the man. I'm following the man, the God behind the man. Amen. If the Word makes a promise, God will keep that promise. If we haven't got faith enough to make it come to pass, then just say, we ain't got enough faith. Pray for me that I'll have it. If we haven't got enough faith to take the little evening stroll like Enoch did and walk home with him, I'll never stand in somebody's way that did have that much faith. I'd bless God for that man that had that kind of faith and walk on home with him. Yes, sir. I'd never put a stumbling block in his way. Enoch just got tired of walking around. He had walked for some 500 years and pleased God all the time. He said, I'm just not adjusted to this earth, so I think I'll go home with him this afternoon and just walk right up through the sky. Oh, I wish I had that kind of faith. It's going to take that kind of faith at the coming of the Lord. There's going to be some people who is tired of this old world and tired of walking around in Laodicea and say, I'm going home with Jesus today. Men say the days is gone. Miracles are over. Healing's done. Then we wonder today, he says we've had great revivals in the land. Billy Graham's, Jack Schuler's, Oral Roberts, great men. Who's crossed the country, they preach their heart out. 1,000 times 1,000 come to the altar. And a week after that, 1,000 times 1,000's gone away. They don't know what happened to them. Then they wonder, what happened? Well, Mr. Graham, my noble brother and friend, was in Louisville. I attended his breakfast. He certainly gave the ministers a rubbing that morning. He said, I come out here and preach my heart out and get sinners to come to the altar. I give them to you. And you sit in your visit, shake their hands after supper, invite them to your church. Instead of that, you sit in your office and have a secretary write them a letter. It's laziness among you. He raked them over the coals. He said, now when Paul went in the city, he got one convert. But when he came back the next year, one convert made 30. He said, I go into a city and have 30 converts and come back next year and I have one. Well, I thought, well, maybe where did Paul go then after he got one convert? Paul went to another city, but he took the convert so deep in God. He said, until he was filled with the Holy Ghost, his heart was burning. He went out and made another convert. That's what's the matter. We don't take them deep enough in God. Oh, have a little emotional work up under a message somewhere, some singing. But we should take them till they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, that's what our youth camp is about. It ain't about the emotions and the jumping up and down and the good atmosphere and all that. We want to see young people that comes deep enough with God till if they come to camp backslidden or come to camp as a drug addict or something, that they can come and find a life-changing day. To where they can get up and they don't go back and be the same person no more. You know, it's amazing. People I'll just say this. It's not always on the youth camp. We got like 3 or 4 days. There's some kids going home to churches. There needs to be real pastors there that keeps pushing into that. Maybe they didn't get deep enough. Maybe they got to a sanctification at youth camp. When they come home, get them to justification. Or justification, get them to sanctification. Get them to the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not interested in having the people in church. Sure, that's wonderful and that's fine. What we have, we're interested in having the people in Jesus Christ. Amen. And have them in him and so buried so deep in him that Satan don't know what to do with him no longer. He said, we let them all just get an emotional work up and a message somewhere. You know, I can't get away from it. We had one pastor said, you know what, I'm not sending my kids there. All they do is they come back and they have just an emotional time. They're emotional for 2 weeks and then it's gone. You know what the problem was? The pastor. Listen, it was a bus full of kids one day that was on their way home from youth camp. Just amazing outpouring of the Holy Ghost coming to that bus. They pulled over in the rest area and for hours just rolling out into the yard, praising God, speaking in tongues and screaming and shouting. I don't sound like just some kid trying to just get worked up. And they go home and the pastor kills it. Then they want to say, well, it's just emotional workup. No, it takes someone who's willing to go further in Jesus Christ and a real leader in the pulpit. I'm so thankful for a real man of God that we have here. Amen. He's not interested in having a big church. Listen, we're not building another church so we can have a bigger church. That's not what it's all about. It's about getting people to Jesus Christ. If they don't get to Jesus Christ, they don't get anywhere. You got churches, I've been in them, they have a coffee machine, or not just a coffee machine, they have a whole big, might as well be Starbucks. Call it the Prayer Cafe or something, I don't remember what it's called. I've been in several of them. Got all kinds of them, this is their big draw. Got other things and programs. I was over there at that church there with that we showed last Sunday night, and the pastor sat down beside me, and you could see he was just deeply troubled by the condition in his church and his young people leaving. And he's just asking me, what kind of programs do y'all have, what do you do for your young people? Do you have like seminars and things? What do you do? I looked at him. I said, let me show you what we do. I just got a picture. Just from that Saturday morning or Saturday at Brother George Winter's house of our young people laid on the concrete crying out to God. And there in his garage. Took that picture and I showed him. I said, this is what we do.
That's right.
We don't have ball games and baseball teams and this and that and the other just to have a membership. We ain't interested in having membership drives. I said, it ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, if you'll preach a living God and a living Christ and you'll get people to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about them backsliding no more. You don't have to worry about young people who's out in drugs and alcohol and all those things. You don't have to worry about them being in one service and out the next. If they ever get to Jesus Christ. But what happened? A man somewhere changed the word of God. And it lost its power. Changed it to, let's just have a good little gathering and have a place to meet and let's just have a good fellowship and let's just have a good hurrah and let's just greet each other and all these things, and that's all it's all about. That's not what we're interested in. And people have the nerve to say, wonder what happened to the God of the Bible. Where is that God? I'm so glad to know I see a God every day. The God of the Bible. Amen. A God who still answers prayer. A God who still heals. A God who still delivers. A God who still saves. A God who still fills with the Holy Ghost. Amen. A man can make a call. Amen. Your pastor struggled with his coat Sunday morning trying to get it on. And the voice of God spoke to him and said, you're not done yet.
Yes.
And he was a man of God enough to know when God was speaking. And amen. He heeded to that call and you saw how your young people lined up.
Right.
And not just young people, older ones saying, I got to have this. Hallelujah. This is what this church has to have. It has to have a Holy Ghost and fire living in it, breathing in it, dwelling in it. Amen. An unchanging God with an unchanging word. Hallelujah. He's that same kind of God. But what's happened? They say, well, where is the God? They choked him out with their creeds and dogmas. We was at that little church, and I ain't trying to pick on them, but if they had to stand up and say the Apostles' Creed, which came from the Catholic Church, going right back to the mother whore. I ain't interested in repeating no Apostles' Creed. I got what the Apostles done. Amen. On the day of the book of Acts, it was gathered in the upper room, and it was in one mind and one accord, and the Holy Ghost began to whirl in the big building and began to set up on them tongues of fire. And I saw a man who denied Jesus Christ walk out and preach a gospel that had changed lives. Amen. Changed 3,000 people in one service. I see a couple men walked to the gate called Beautiful. This man begging for alms. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have. What I have. They recognized the scripture that Jesus said, I am the Father and the Father and I and you. They recognized the dispensation changed, that it wasn't no longer God above us, God with us, but they recognized what I have. They wasn't giving him of their life. There's no man who could give of his life and to raise a man off his bed of affliction. It was not talking about themselves, what I have, what I just received. That same life that changed me from a liar, that same life that changed me from a denier. I know he can not only change me, but he can change you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. But they've choked him out by their creeds. They've choked him out by their traditions. Brother John was in the Catholic Church. I've been in a funeral one time. That's the only Catholic church I've ever been in. It was a funeral. I guarantee you I stood up about 20 times. I was so confused by the time I got out of there. I didn't know if I was standing or sitting or coming or going or what. Weird. Totally weird. Thank God it's weird. But it's creeds. Dogmas, traditions. That's why we got to fight with everything that we do, that our worship does not become a tradition. Our life for Jesus Christ has not become a tradition. I don't come to church on Sunday because that's just what I got to do. As far as a tradition. I don't come to church on a Wednesday because that's just something a Christian ought to do out of a tradition. No, sir. I come because there's a love within my heart. Amen. I don't want to become a preacher that just studies because of a tradition. I got to preach tonight. I got to study. No, we need to be feeding upon the Word of God. It's not out of tradition. It's out of love. When it's out of tradition, you got to be told to worship. You got to be told. I thank God for a church that ain't got to be told. But you know yourselves as the song begin to sing. You feel yourself being lifted up. You feel yourself. Maybe you're coming in here this evening, and you've been beat down today. The sun's been hot and beating down on you, tired in body. But the word, the song began to sing. I know my Redeemer lives. It was just something. You maybe didn't feel like it, but your hand went up. Because there was something on the inside of you that responded to the Spirit of God that began to move through those words. He said people have tried to place him back in history. Oh, they can see him back there. Poor man, I've said it before, but that poor man that came to some of our services at family camp and said, we used to have services like that. That's a God of history. Why would God change? You can study revivals and you can see it down through the dark ages and all the way Pentecost and all the way up to where it always took people back to holiness and godliness and raised the standards up. You hear Brother Branham talking about trying to think of his name right now, but we said the problem is we've let down the bars and the goats have got in. But you see, every time the word came, the bar was raised. Why, God's still as holy and just as He's ever been. There ain't no changing. You know, some years ago, when the homosexual group was coming on strong, it was in the 90s, began to voice, come out in their strong voice. Me and my brother Tim was listening to NPR and about some kind of gay thing they had going on, some kind of gay march, and you heard this woman's voice. This is the 90s. Get over it. This is 2014, and God still hasn't changed His mind. But they put Him as a God in history. That when Moses called Him at the Red Sea, the God of history rose and made a way. When Joshua called on the God of history at Jordan, He rose up and made a way. When Daniel called Him at the lion's den, and the Hebrew children at the fiery furnace, He rose and made a way. He's still the same God today. He's waiting for His people to call Him up out of history. The same God remains God. He's forever God. But our traditions, we taught it away from the people. What we must do is bring that living faith back to the people. And when we do, we bring God back. Let me go down. Let's look at Numbers 13 and verse 26. We see a people here who was given a promise. They was told, I'll take you out of Egypt and I'll take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 26 says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we've come unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. If they could have just stopped right there. They're saying exactly what God said it was. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They were saying exactly what the word said. But then they say, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Oh, nevertheless, we saw something else. We're adding to the word. And in adding to the word, they took themselves out of the promise. And they never entered into the promised land. But here's a man in Caleb steal the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He was saying exactly what God had said about them. And thereby staying with the word, he stayed in the promise. Hallelujah. Amen. You see people in this day, as soon as they step out of the word, they step out of the promise. And then you see everything, all kind of chaos coming, all the things that goes on. And why? Because they've taken themselves out of the promised land. God didn't take them out. They took themselves out. People say, oh, God's such a loving God. How could He burn anybody? God didn't put nobody in hell. People are putting themselves there. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. They put themselves out. Caleb put himself in. Why? How? By confessing what the Word said about him. Hallelujah. Amen. This is exactly what takes place when you're sick in your body and you begin to confess the promise. I am the Lord God that heals all thy diseases. You are putting yourselves in the promise. By His stripes I am healed. You are putting yourselves in the promise. Just like those are putting themselves out, there's a people in this day that are putting themselves in. Amen. I'll gladly stand with this word that has been brought with this day by a vindicated prophet. This word speaks to me. I say, let's go up at once and possess what God has given us. Amen. Let's possess our inheritance. Let's possess a body change. I'm not looking at the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and everything else that Satan wants to put there. I am looking at a promise. God has placed a promise for me, and I'm stepping into that promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against. Wait a minute, let me read this. We be not able to believe this message anymore. Is that not so? This was their message in that day. He said, go, I'll give you this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. We be not able to believe this message. Moses has got too many faults. Moses has got a temper. I seen him do exactly opposite of what God told him to do. He hit the rock when God told him to speak to it. We be not able to go up against His people, for they are stronger than we. Stepped out of the promise. The devil is stronger. He's greater. That ain't what my Bible says. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's what my Bible says. And I prefer to put myself in that promise. That greater is He that is for me than he that is against me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon, no devil, no sickness, no trouble, no trial can ever keep the child of God out of the promised land. If they're willing to confess exactly what the Word said and not add to or take away. He said, but the men that went up with him were not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Whose report are you going to believe?
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
10 against 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, in our world we live in, usually majority rules. 10 against 2. Who are you going to believe? It took them, all those that had seen the Red Sea open. They'd seen miracles take place in Egypt. They'd seen that Red Sea come open. They'd seen those Egyptians dead. Oh, they had a good camp meeting service and played the tambourine, danced and shouted. They seen God writing with His finger, His word in stone. They'd seen God bring down the manna from heaven. They'd seen God bring down the pigeon or the bird down to feed them. They'd seen the water that was brought out of a rock, out of stone, out of nothing. Here comes a gusher of water, not just to fulfill the desire of a couple people. Millions of people. Millions of people. Millions and their livestock and all the things that was involved there. Incredible. Their clothes never wore out. Their feet, their shoes never wore out. They've seen all these things and they get right to the last part of possession. We're not able. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all people that we saw in it are great men of great stature. That's when your imagination has went crazy. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Who said so? Who said so? It's amazing that the Midianites, they seen multitudes and just unbelievable amount of armies. Great lights and great sounds and great wonders. And it was made by 300 men. Who said that you're grasshoppers in their sight?
That's right.
Your feeble mind did.
Yeah.
People leaning upon their own intellect and their own understanding.
Right.
And all the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Why did we just stay in the denominations? And that's right where back they go to. Or we would have died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us in this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Hello? They was going to die in Egypt anyway. I don't know about you, but I'd rather die a free man. Here they were bound, slaves. And they're saying, I'd rather go back to being a slave than to take of this land. This is what is happening in our day. People are saying, I'd rather go back to being a slave. And they're going right back to their drinking, right back to their adulterizing, right back to their cigarettes and drugs and every kind of other thing. Right back to chopping hair off, right back to makeup. One step into the bottomless pit and they begin to fall over and over and over. Why? Because their confession has taken them out of the promise. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. God said, because you've done this, not one of you are entering in. Only two, Joshua and Caleb. I'm putting myself in that too. That's where I choose to believe. I choose to believe in a God who's faithful. That if I do face an Anak, He is greater than Anak. If I do face the walls of Jericho, He's greater than the walls of Jericho. Whatever I face, He's more than able to take care of it. And I prefer to stay in the promise of God's Word, knowing that I have a God who will not change His mind, but He will stay the same, because He always has been the same and He always will be the same. God had told Abraham, let me go back to the promise. Your seed shall come into this country and sojourn here for 400 years, and then I will bring them out with a mighty hand, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That promise was spoke, and it took years, 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 400 years of slavery, walking through the wilderness, and here they are. When he speaks of his vision, listen, he said, when the prophet speaks of his vision, whether it's wrath or whether it's healing, it may linger, but it's got to come to pass if he speaks it in the name of the Lord. See, it might be a blessing that he speaks for you. He might tell you a certain thing. You can't see it at all. You say, how can it be? He told me, thus saith the Lord. Now, this is going to happen, and that was going to happen, and it ain't happening. The man is wrong. Now, you'll be judged for disbelieving. But it's going to happen anyhow. Amen. Listen, God's word, just because someone disbelieves it, don't mean that it ain't true. God is going to have someone that's going to believe his word. God is going to have someone that's going to take their part in that promise and not let any devil in hell shake them from it. He said, they say, well, it ain't happened. His man's wrong. Now, you'll be judged for disbelieving, but it's going to happen anyhow. Though it linger, the Bible said, yet will it speak in its season. It will come to pass. The prophet's only looking off and seeing something. He's talking about what he's looking at. He ain't thinking about here or what you're looking at now. He's looking at what's going to be. And when he speaks that, if it's the word of the Lord, it's already been spoke. There's nothing in the world can stop it. Hallelujah. When God's word speak, there's nothing in the world that can stop it. There's not a devil that can stop it. Lucifer himself cannot stop it. God's word will be fulfilled. Because he cannot go back on one of his promises. He speaks his vision. The prophet speaks it. Sometimes he speaks good things. Sometimes he speaks your healing. All right, you might think it just can't happen. I haven't got any better. That's what does that do? That just brings the judgments of God upon you. That's right. God promised to save you if you believe he can save you. Amen. If you don't believe, it won't happen to you. But it will happen to someone who will believe. Hallelujah. You have got to accept it. You've got to believe it. And you've got to know from where it came from. That gives you your faith in God. That you've got to believe it because God said so. That settles it. Let's look at Habakkuk 2 and verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables, and that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Amen. And not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. But it will come to pass as God said it would. Hallelujah. He said that this nation would be in smoke, bombs, and craters. It will happen. Listen. We're living in one of the greatest times there's ever been. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a people we ought to be to recognize that the God is coming back for his people. Not in another age. Not in a time coming. But in this day. Amen. Hallelujah. And the vision will happen. Amen. It will speak. Hallelujah. We heard of the vision of that bride that was walking in step with onward Christian soldiers going on to war. I'm here to tell you that vision is speaking today. Amen. There's a bride in Europe. There's a bride in America. There's a bride in Asia. There's one over in Africa. There's one in Japan. There's one in Korea. Hallelujah. And they're beginning to walk onward, Christian soldiers. They're not looking at this and that and the other, but they're dressed in that holy garb of the Word. Amen. The Word of Jesus Christ. And they're not descending, they're ascending. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I was not born to go to hell. Hell was not created for me. It was created for the devil and his angels and whoever chooses to go there. People want to blame things on God and say, well, just God this and God that and he did. No, people put themselves there by their choices. What do we got in this day? We bring this down. We got intellectual giants in the world today that can almost explain everything that God said to be true away. They can take it from a theological standpoint, intellectual. And if you'll just take your mind of thinking, reasoning like Eve did at the beginning, they can explain everything of the Bible away from you. If you use this head right here. But if a man or a woman has been on the backside of the desert in them sacred sands where no intellectual can stand and came in contact with a living God, no devil, no scientist, or no intellectual or anything else can ever explain that away. Amen. Hallelujah. You were there when it happened. Hallelujah. They can take all kind of things away. They can try to explain this and that and the other. But what they can't explain is one day I was a sinner and God met me. And not only did he meet me, he changed me. And he changed you. And he made you a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There ain't a devil in hell that can shake you from that foundation. Because it's a supernatural thing that has been revealed to you. You know the moment that God came down on the inside of your darkened soul and a light began to dawn on the inside and you saw things like you ain't never saw them before. And you heard like you had never heard before. You sat in service after service after service your whole life. Some of it cut your teeth on a message pew. Like the gnawed holes in them old wooden benches. You knew the message. You knew it backwards, inwards, upwards, downwards. But you had to come to the God of that message. And once you met him, try talking Moses. Moses was so convinced after he met that pillar of fire, he took a donkey and a rod and a child and a woman down there and took over Egypt. People could try to talk him out of it, but they could not take that time and that pillar of fire away from him. Neither can they take it away from you. You know that this is more than just theology. This is more than just intellect. This is more than just the ideas of a seventh grader, a Kentuckian preacher. But God came down in this day. He visited this day, and he's opened this word up like never before. There is a light that is shining on this word like never before. And the same light that shone on that word has shone in your hearts. He says here, he said, you can look at it. He read where Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High and all that there. He said, now compare it to Thessalonians where he says he sits in the temple of God, exalting himself above all that's called God so that he as God is worshiped as God upon the earth. There is a God of this world that I preached to you last Sunday. He is here today in deceit, that treacherous hour, that tremendous time that we're living in. It's the most glorious time of all the ages because we're facing the great millennium again. We're facing Eden again. But right at this age, all the deceit and every tactic that he's ever used and been able to deceive with, he's gathered it all together and reinforced himself with it and come down like God and has put himself in the place of God. Religious can quote the scriptures, can tell you scripture, just as Satan did to Eve in the Garden of Eden, but he leaves one spot out of it. It's all he has to do, make that little gap. where the poison doctrine of the devil can begin to pour through. Can you see it? He's right there. You're standing behind the word, and it removes one word to where the poison of the devil can come through. He said he would exalt himself above the Most High. He would ascend above the clouds and the stars. He would sit there like God and be above the Most High. And he has succeeded in carrying out his threats. He has certainly had a marvelous success in carrying out his threats by the people letting him explain away in every age. The value of God's promised word to that age. Listen, he ain't trying to explain away maybe some other age. He's trying to explain away your time. And once he gets you to doubt your time, he'll take it all away. All the way back to creation. All the way back and erase God completely out of your conscience. That's his goal. He said that's exactly how he's done it in every age. He explained it away. In the days of Noah, he explained that it was impossible for it to rain from heaven. For there is no rain up there. His great scientific gospel that he preached in the Garden of Eden. He could shoot the instruments to the moon and prove there's no moisture up there. But God said there would come a rain. But Satan succeeded and poisoned the mind of the people by scientific research that it could not be done. And people took themselves out of the promise. If they'd have got on the boat into the promise of the hour. But it was, it said it couldn't be done, but it was done. God said it would be done, and it was, and he confirmed exactly what he said he would do. Listen, take God at his word. Act upon the promise. Regardless of what takes place, it's up to God to do the rest. Just start knocking the clouds away. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you tonight. Lay aside all your doubts and your fears and your thoughts and your creeds. Everything that's contrary to the word, lay it aside. Jesus Christ is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lay aside your creeds. Lay aside your doubts. Lay aside your frustrations of the day. Just keep on pushing. First thing you know, you'll move that last chunk. And he'll be standing there. And you'll meet him face to face. Hallelujah. Can we bow our heads tonight? Lay aside your doubts. Confess only what the word said. I am his and he is mine. I belong to Jesus. I wasn't created for the devil or his angels. I'm not going to hell. I wasn't never going to hell. I was created for a greater place. How many would just say tonight, you just want to lift your hand and say, Lord, thank you for the word that you've given in this hour. Let me stand with that word. Let me be a Joshua. Let me place myself in that promise, God. Let me stay in the promise. Lord, don't let me waver from this thing. Not one little bitty word add or take away from it, but Lord, let me stay right in the path. Keep me in the center of your will, oh God. Yes, Lord. How many would just stand and say, I'm a Caleb. That's my confession. That's where I'm putting my promise. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Maybe just make that confession. Maybe just say it. Give me my mountain. Give me what belongs to me. Lord, I take it right now. I take everything that you have for me. I accept it right now, Lord. I don't want to leave nothing out. I want to take everything that you've given. I want to walk all over heaven tonight. I want to walk all over the promises of God and just lay myself and bathe myself in the promises. Maybe you've been looking at your frustrations and your condemnations and your downheartedness and your wore outness and your tiredness. Look at the heaven for a moment. move that last chunk? What if this was our last hill we had to climb? What if it was the last valley, your last trial? We knew that, what attitude we would have. We would be giving everything we got. Lord, I want to take everything that you promised tonight. I want to accept it right now. I accept my healing. If you're sick, I accept it. I accept healing right now. He's here. His word declares he's here. We're standing on the promises tonight. We're not looking at nothing else. I'm not looking at my feelings or how I feel. I'm lifting my hands and saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. It's over with, devil. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's over with. Hallelujah. I see victories taking place in hearts. Get your eyes off the darkness of Laodicea. Get it on the light of the world. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word you've given us in this day, Lord. A promise of a land flowing with milk and honey. God, don't let us begin to look at things around us and get so concerned that we fail to see the God that's with us. You brought us to the Red Sea. You brought us out of Egypt. You brought us to the deserts and wildernesses and washed us over so many times, oh God. Lord God, there's some here in this day, Lord, that are taking themselves out of the promise. But Lord, I want to put myself in that promise and I want to bathe in the promises of this word. Wash me by your promises, oh God. Your promises are true and everlasting. Never can ever fail, or ever, not one can ever go unfulfilled, but everything will be fulfilled according to his time and place. The vision will speak. We must tarry for it. We must wait. But it will come to pass. There is a vision of a bride without spot, without wrinkle, that is going to take a body change. Lord, I'm placing myself in that promise. God, I want my mountain. Sick of this old world and the things it has to offer. It has nothing. Lord, we place ourselves in you tonight, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would just confess it right now. Whatever you have need, I just say, Lord, I'm confessing it right now. Be healing from my body. I accept it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Oh, yes, Lord. We're standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. By your stripes we're healed, oh God. You've taken the stripes. You've taken the punishment for my healing. Accept it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about the promise? They shall be there and their offspring with them. What about that promise? Won't you bathe in that promise for a little bit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about the promise that the blood can make the vilest sinner clean? What about that promise? What about the promise that the blood has never lost its power? What about that promise? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's don't get no hurry. You're just going to go outside and visit for another hour. Let's just stay in the promises of God for a moment. Say, Lord, your word is yea and amen. Thank God his word is not yea and then nay and yea and nay and yea and nay. And we don't know what he's saying coming and going one day or the next. But it's yea and amen. He's the faithful and true witness. The amen of God. Hallelujah. There's a race I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour. Oh, yes, Lord, keep me true. Oh, keep me true. yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. There's a race. Oh, I must run. Oh, yes, Lord. With power. Write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Hallelujah. He's made it plain in this hour. He's shown a light upon it that we can run. Run this race that's set before us. We got to lay aside everything. Oh, keep me true. Keep me true. Lord Jesus, keep me true. Thank you.
song.